In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking right now at Psalm 145, and the scripture says, "Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord." Well, we thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for the food that we eat. Let all your faithful ones bless you. We bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You call us to bless you, so we bless you. We bless you. We thank you. We adore you. We bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Oh, you are all powerful, Father, all loving, all kind. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you, and we speak of your might. The eyes of all look hopefully to you. Yes, your answer is looking to Jesus, not looking to men, not looking to me. Your answer is looking to Jesus. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. Look to Jesus. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. My Lord, those few words, you can spend the whole day thanking God today and blessing God today for what he's given you. You say, I don't think he's given me much. He's given you eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's given you life in abundance. He's given you his presence. He's given you food to eat and food to drink. I'm looking at John 6. It was the crowd that followed Jesus. The Jewish feast of Passover was near when Jesus raised his eyes and saw the large crowd. Why is there a large crowd? Because they want to be healed. And the large crowd was coming to him, and he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test Philip because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for them even to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many people?" I tell you, the star of this experience is Jesus. The co-star is Andrew and the little boy. Andrew brings the little boy to Jesus, and Jesus takes the fish and the loaves, and he blesses them, and they multiply. Yes. Have the people recline. Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, just like the Eucharist, distributed them to those who were reclining, and to also the fish as they wanted. In other words, they got as much as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so nothing will be wasted." So they collected the fragments and filled 12 wicker baskets, my Lord, with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew they were going to come and carry him off to make him a king, he withdrew again to a mountain all alone. So Jesus knows that he is not the king as the world sees it, but he will be king on the cross. This was a temptation. Temptation, you know, to glory, that he'd be reigning as a king and not go to the cross. But Jesus' kingship is on Calvary. He's on Calvary. He says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." We need to give Jesus our little, and he will multiply it. He will multiply the little that we give him. This is real. This is real. God knows how to multiply things. He will multiply what you give him. This is real. It's absolutely real. We're looking at the 5th chapter of 2 Kings. Now, Naaman, he was a Gentile, captain of the host of the king of Syria,
was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord gave them deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man of war, but he was a leper. He was a mighty man of war, but he was a leper. When you talk about leprosy, it could just mean a little blotch on your face. It's not necessarily that it's taken over your whole body. So this Naaman, I don't know how much leprosy he had, he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. Now this little maid is the co-star, or I should say the star. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She is a Jewish little maid. They took her in. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were there a prophet that is in Samaria who would recover your husband from this leprosy?" And one went in and told the Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." You see, there's always someone to tell you the good news. She said, "You know, there's a prophet in Israel. Why don't you go to Israel and your husband can be healed of this leprosy?" She is a witness to the gospel of the day. We are witnesses to the gospel of the day. We are to tell people what Jesus has done for us and how he loves us and what he plans for us and how he gives us his mercy and his kindness. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." So he thinks that the king of Israel, who has power, is going to heal him. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. He sent it to the king of Israel. But the king is not the prophet, you see. The king is going to respond by saying, "Not me. I can't do this. I have a realm of authority, but not this spiritual authority." And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therein sent Naaman my servant to thee, that you would recover him from his leprosy." How does the king respond? "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to look and to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man from leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seek a quarrel against me." In other words, I don't have this power. I don't have this power. This is the power of the prophet. This is the power of Elisha. This is not from me. You see, sometimes we think that we have to, you know, it's who you know. People ask me about, you know, do I know this person or that person? I say, the only one I know is Jesus. I have nobody in politics that I can rely upon. It's not in politics, it's in Jesus. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, let the leper come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Let him come to me." You see, there was a division of power: king, priest, and prophet. The king would not take the prophet's job, or else he would die. But this is not true now. We have been baptized as priests, king, and prophets at baptism. We have the threefold ministry at baptism. We're just not using it, that's for sure. If we were using it, things would be happening. We are priests because we celebrate the Eucharist. We are kings and queens because we belong to the royal family of Jesus. We are prophets because we speak the word with boldness if we want to. Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you shall be clean." Now the Jordan is a dirty river. It's a dirty river. Yeah? And Elisha says, what you need to do is go to the Jordan River and wash 7 times, and you'll get better. Now, when God tells us to do something simple, we say, well, you know what? If it were difficult, I'd do it. But it's something simple. To praise His name every day, to bless His name every day. That's what we need to do, to praise His name every day, to bless His name every day. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you. But Naaman was upset. He went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. In other words, Naaman had preconceived ideas of how God was going to work through him. You know, this is very interesting. Preconceived ideas. I know that I had preconceived ideas that God was going to heal me, and He was going to heal me, but how would He heal me? Through doctors. That's how He was going to heal me, through doctors, through medicine. That's how He was going to heal me. He didn't come and stretch His hand over me and say, you're healed. That's not what has happened in my life, though I have seen that happen in other people's lives. You see, this Naaman thinks that the prophet's going to come and say some words and touch his head and say, be gone, leprosy. That's not what he said. Go wash in the Jordan Dirty River 7 times. And then he starts thinking, the soldier. Are not the Abana and the Parpar rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? They're clean. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bidden you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says, go wash in the Jordan and be clean. In other words, if the prophet had bidden you to climb a mountain without shoes, you would have done it. But he's just telling you to go wash in the Jordan River. Why don't you do it? Again, these are the co-stars. This might be the little girl again doing this preaching to Naaman, the soldier. Go ahead and wash in the Jordan. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, according to the saying of Elisha. And his flesh came again like that unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Why was he clean? Because he did what God told him to do. What is God telling you to do? Get to confession. Get to confession. Oh, but I don't want to tell any man my sins. You're telling God your sins in the presence of the church. Saint Catherine of Siena said when she went to confession, she was going under the blood. What little thing do you need to do? Get to confession. But you say, no, I don't want to do that. Then you know what? Then continue in your mess. Continue in your mess. Get to confession. There's authority in the confessional. If people want to use that authority, there's authority in the confessional. Father Martin can tell people their sins. He knows that. He has been given that gift. Well, to some extent, we've all been given that gift to heal people in the confessional. But you see, that's too little. I want Father Tom to come and be at the guest at our meeting, and he'll wave his hands and people will get better. No, go to confession. Go to confession. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing from you. And he urged him to take something, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then be, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, a burden of earth. In other words, he's going to take land from Israel. A 2-mule burden of earth for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings to the sacrifice of other gods, but unto the Lord. In other words, he's going to pray on the holy land because he wants the earth of the holy land. And he's involved with other things. Listen, and in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goes to the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord may pardon your servant in this doing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now what's happened here? He's taken holy land so that when he prays, he's going to stand on the holy land. And he's going to be able to have to go to the house of Rimmon, another false god. But the Lord would excuse him because his heart is not with Rimmon. His heart is with the God of Israel. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord live, I will run after him and take something from him. In other words, Gehazi says, I'm going to go out and get some stuff. My master, Elisha, took nothing from Naaman, but I'm going to get some stuff for me. You know, I need this stuff. You know, what stuff do you need today? What stuff do you really need today? Not much. You don't need much stuff. You don't need it. You don't need it, especially if God says you don't need it. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and says, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. In other words, I want some stuff from you. Even though my master said, no, I don't want anything from you, Gehazi says, I want some stuff from you. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments and laid them upon two of the servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, where are you coming from, Gehazi? And he said, oh, your servant went not whither, no place. And then he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? In other words, my heart was with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? In other words, you had no right to do this. And the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto you and unto your seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You see, the word of God was that nothing was to be given to the prophet. But Gehazi lusted after stuff. Please, don't lust after stuff. Be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Thank God for what you have. Don't lust after stuff. Because if you lust after stuff, you know, you're not going to be very well in the kingdom of God. I'm going to be reading from the book called Jesus Freaks, and it has to do with the suffering of people. It has to do with, his name is Mizhong Mayo. Abandon your faith, the communist police officer shouted at Mizhong Mayo. The officers first slammed down on the table. Mayo replied quietly, Jesus Christ is the savior of my life. I cannot obey your order. What was the order? Abandon your faith. Only 7 weeks after his conversion from atheism, Mayo became a preacher of the gospel. This is a common occurrence in the underground churches in China. Believers there don't wait for theological studies. They begin right away to tell about their first experiences with Jesus. Mayo had been arrested for spreading what the police called the poison of imperialism. They beat him, and he prayed. And while they beat him, a supernatural joy filled him. He felt the Holy Spirit surround him, and nothing the communists did could make him deny Jesus. He was sentenced to 5 years, but was later given another 10 years for preaching in the slave labor camp. Mayo's wife, abandoning all hope and ever seeing him again, divorced him. And when he heard the news, he was very sad. Then he remembered the words of Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you alone? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. He composed a hymn and sang it. Mayo continued to preach to his fellow inmates. Then came a terrible winter and temperatures close to zero. An epidemic swept through the prison. Out of 1,300 prisoners, 1,050 died. Mayo was pronounced dead and taken to the morgue, but his spirit was alive. In the morgue, surrounded by dead men, he prayed and saw an angel dressed in white, whose face shone in the glory of God. The angel blew upon him, and immediately the sickness left him, and he felt better. He knelt and thanked God when he left the morgue. The prison doctor saw him walking around and cried out in fear. He thought Mayo was a ghost, just like the disciples did when Jesus was resurrected and appeared to them. But Mayo said, "Don't be afraid. I am Mayo. God restored me to health. He sent me to show you the way to God." That's Jesus. The doctor knelt and said, "Your God is a reality." After 15 years, Mayo was released from the prison and continued to work secretly in the underground church for another 18 years. At his release, he told the authorities, "Suffering did not diminish my faith, but only intensified my relationship with Jesus." We need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are under persecution. We need to pray for them, because who thinks of them? Who thinks of these brothers and sisters that are under persecution? Father, we pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. We ask you, Lord, that you would give them hope and faith and joy in the midst of their persecution. We thank you for the blood that they have shed, for the blood of martyrs, the seed of the gospel. We pray especially for Japan, that has only 0.5% that belong to Christ. We pray for Japan, that the martyrdom that is taken in Japan would be producing the gospel in that place. Father, we just lift up Japan today, and we say, Lord, pour out your spirit upon Japan. Use the martyrs that died for their faith to bring the gospel to the Japanese, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. I'm telling you that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. The Jesus who came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to captives, to give sight to the blind, to bring at liberty those who are bruised, and to proclaim a year of Jubilee. I tell you, Jesus wants your life. That's what he wants. So that you would praise him and thank him for the rest of your years. Jesus wants your life. You pray with me, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life. Save me, because I need to be saved. Save me, because I need to be saved. Heal me, because I need to be healed. I need you, Jesus. I need you to come to me. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I am desperate for you, Jesus. I am desperate for you, Jesus. I give you my life, Jesus. I give you my life, Jesus.
There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the readings that we read today, all little people that God used, the little boy with his fish and loaves, the little servant of Mrs. Naaman. Yes, you are a little person too, and God wants to use you mightily. The only thing you need to do is to give your life to Jesus. I need to hear from you on the internet, inseason.net. inseason.net, and you can leave a donation. I'd be very grateful. inseason.net. And may Jesus Christ bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, Amen, Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.